With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This podcast is supported in part by Australian Ethical.
G'day, Lewis. How are you?
Hello, Dan. I'm very well. What an exciting show today.
It's an exciting show. I don't know if the listener can hear, but we are in the hubbub of the Factory Theatre courtyard, and we've got some very special fear muggers I'm going to introduce in just a second. I've got some big news, Lewis.
You have teased this news to me via text message, and it's all I've been able to think about all day.
All right, so what do you think it is? All right, you tell the listener what you think, what I sent you and what you think it is.
Well, all you told me is it has something to do with the person I'm most fascinated about in the whole world, Russell Crowe. And
yes.
Weirdly, when you texted me, I just got a very odd email from the people at Actor, basically advertising a tour for Russell Crowe, which was very odd. But for me, welcome. I'm like, thank God, Actor's finally doing something I give a shit about. Okay. Telling me about Russell Crowe's tour.
I've got a very particular gig with Russell Crowe coming up, and I think I want the other fearmongers to weigh in on it. So let's get the show underway and let's talk about it in a second. But first, let's thank our Patreon supporters who signed up this week. Aaron Melzimo, John Atchison, and Megan Chila. Thank you so much. I'm recording my end of Irrational Fear on Gadigal land in the Eora Nation. Sovereignty was never ceded. We need a treaty. Let's start the show.
The following program contains medium coarse language and traces of nuts. Irrational Fear recommends listening by immature audiences. Comedians, experts, laughing at the world as it burns down around us. This is...
Are you ready?
A Rational Fear.
Tonight, because rental affordability is the worst ever seen, renters are encouraged to sign leases with their eyes closed. And the Australian Communications Media Authority says Outsiders on Sky News is inaccurate. ACMA authorities also ruled that water was wet and the sky was blue, and Lewis Hobber is in breach of being conventionally attractive. And for the first time, Australia will host the Quad Leaders Summit in Sydney. Previously, it wasn't necessary, since former Prime Minister Scott Morrison was the leader of Australia, India, Japan, and the United States of America. It's the 8th of April 2023, and with more questionable legal advice than Ivanka Trump, this is Irrational Fear.
This is Irrational Fear.
Welcome to Irrational Fear. I'm your host, former Fox News anchor Dan Illich, and this is the news comedy podcast that Gen Z is calling a hit of nostalgia for 2018. We are recording live from the Factory Theatre courtyard on opening night of the Sydney Comedy Festival with some of the festival's best fearmongers. Let's meet them now. He's ditched the sleeve tats and the moustache for the first time in 20 years. He's going spirit gum free tonight, playing the role of Heath Franklin. It is Heath Franklin. Welcome, Heath.
Hello. Yes, thank you.
You've cut chopper free. Do you guys still stay in touch?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. No, I decided that the cost of living crisis is not a great time for a rebrand. So chopper will be back. There's only so many times my kids can say, what's for dinner? And I say, credibility. Seconds tonight, kids. As many plates as you want to fill up of credibility.
And jealous off the back of Australia's entry into Eurovision, our next fearmonger has a plan to get New Zealand into the only competition that's more important than the Bledisloe Cup. It's One Heart of Two Hearts, Joseph Moore. Hey!
Hello.
How do you get New Zealand into Eurovision? What's the plan here?
The first thing is for anyone apart from me and my wife to give a shit about it in New Zealand. but we're starting the campaign. We did an interview with a UK broadsheet newspaper about it, and they found our petition online, and they said, we've got our fingers crossed for you, but your petition has 18 signatures.
But that's
don't put that in the interview.
You need to start playing to the malice of Australians.
That is 90% of New Zealand.
That is 90% of New Zealand.
Yeah, I know. We've got it's a good run.
And beaming into the podcast from his baby change room in the back streets of the Sydney International Airport, it's the nappy flipping Lewis Hobber.
Hello. Yeah, I genuinely am hiding in our baby's room at the moment. She's sleeping in my bed. It's topsy turvy. She's taken over the house.
Are you okay, Lewis? Do you need help?
Are you offering?
No, just asking. Maybe we can get Airtasker around or something like that.
Yeah, great.
Heath's got kids. He's done parenting. He can give you tips.
Yeah, it's easy. You're actually at the easiest stage right now. I'm not even lying. So buckle up.
No, it is. Honestly, it's wonderful, but it isn't. Recording podcasts at home has become slightly more challenging. Like 7:30 is exactly when she's drifting off to sleep. So right now, if she wakes back up,
Let's blame Australian Ethical for that. So, look, folks, my Russell news is that I've been asked to MC two of his gigs for the Indoor Garden Party.
Wow. Is it called the Indoor Garden Party?
The band is called Indoor Garden Party.
I thought he would be going for something punny like Russellmania.
No, the Indoor Garden Party, that's the name of the band. And it's no longer 30-odd foot of grunt.
Wow. I think or the Ordinary Fear of God.
That's it, Ordinary Fear of God. Yeah,
apparently they had heaps of TOFOG t-shirts made.
So they just changed the name of the band.
To the same initials, yeah.
Right. Oh my God, I had no idea.
When you said the Outdoor Garden Party, I thought he was like doing a corporate at a garden event and yeah. You were the MC, you bring him on to do a tight 30.
I'm just popping down to Flower Power. it's totally bizarre. So I'm quite nervous about this.
You should be.
On the 19th and 20th of May, I've got to go down to the Bridge Road in Roselle and MC Russell's event.
But is it a gig?
It's a band gig.
And do you have to go, welcome to the gig?
That's it. Like, how do you MC a band on stage? Like, what does he want me to
but
do?
Also,
I reckon I've got one idea for at least one break in the show.
Okay, right.
You just walk out there, stare down the crowd and say, are you not entertained?
If you're going to see Russell Crowe's band, there's a very small chance you're there to see anyone in the band other than Russell Crowe, with full respect to the Indoor Garden Party. But there's even less chance they're there to see host of Irrational Fear, Dan Illich. I think you're fucked. I think you've been stitched up here.
Do you know, when Russell messaged me, he said, I'm doing a tour. Why don't you check the dates and pick a date and come along? And I said, yeah, sounds good. That was 2 months ago. Then I was thinking, like, great, I say sounds good. That sounds pretty non-committal. Then, like, 3 weeks ago, he's like, have you checked out the dates? And then sent me the dates. And he's like, and I was like, fucking hell. All right, I can do the 19th or 20th.
Fuck.
Or both if you need. He said, great, I'll put you down for both. Oh. I'm like, fuck!
Well,
okay, I guess his fallback plan in Sydney would just be have two of the Rabbitohs do it. Just an MC just saying, full credit to the band. We went out there.
Honestly, Sam Burgess would do a much better job than this. Coming up, you're going to be hearing Two Hearts' compelling song about allowing New Zealand to the Eurovision. But first, here's a message from this week's sponsor.
The Australian Federal Government is serious about Tasmania's housing crisis, which is why they're funding a new estate to house 23,000 people weekly, 80 minutes at a time, in an AFL stadium in Hobart. Nothing will inspire rent-stressed tenants to get better-paid jobs to pay more rent, like hearing a quarter-filled stadium filled with lukewarm supporters.
Woo! Go Tasmania, I guess.
With their ample experience in being political footballers, Hobart's homeless will be motivated to become professional AFL footballers. And play for Tasmania's first AFL team, the fearsome Tassie Landlords.
Pay the rent! Pay the rent! It's time to pay the rent!
Because because the only thing better than home is a home ground.
Authorised by the Australian Football Lobby, Canberra.
Hilarious. Right now, there's a potential new AFL team in Tasmania happening. Got any suggestions about what the team could be called, Heath? I mean, you are a massive AFL head.
I'm a massive AFL fan, but I'm also a massive Tasmania fan. Mm. So, unfortunately, I mean, like, I've been quite charmed with the place. I went to the Salamanca Markets in Hobart once, and I was so charmed I bought a leather hat. And then I walked away, I was like, why do I want a leather hat?
Great, great. You're playing the Tassie leather hats. I like it. Yeah. It's a good vibe, yeah.
But I don't know where else there is in Tasmania. Tasmania's home from that guy who headbutted Tony Abbott.
Oh, yeah. His name was like Psycho Daisy something DJ, right?
Yeah, DJ Psycho Daisy, yeah. So they could be called the Tassie Kissers.
The Tassie Kissers, yeah. Fight. Welcome, please welcome the Tassie Kissers. Any ideas for Tassie AFL name?
The Taz Maniacs seems to be the most obvious. Oh, though, based on most of my friends' Instagram posts from going there,
it's very Martin Bryce.
Yeah,
very
Martin Bryce. It'd have to be the Hobart Art Galleries.
the MoMAs.
I know people talk about a lot in NBA is when, you know, they sell a franchise and the new team makes no sense in the new context, i.e. the Utah Jazz or the LA Lakers where there are no lakes.
Yep.
But I think given how poorly attended Gold Coast Suns games are, it could be very fun to send the Suns to Tasmania. The first time they've seen sun in years.
The first time Tasmania's seen sun.
Now that I've said it out loud, I think the Tasmania MoMAs is too hard to go past. The uniform could just be a wall of vaginas.
This week's First Fear, a Muffin Break franchise has been hit with 360 child labour charges, not including Sundays and public holidays, of course. They've been accused of employing three children under the age of 15 without a permit. No one knew for so long because there were just three kids standing on top of each other with a massive trench coat. Some of these Muffin Break kids were working without an adult present. The adults that were present didn't have a working with children check. This is like the second massive child labour story in Australia in the last month or so. There's a heartwarming story about a country cafe that was employing kids to make jam. Fearmongers, what's with these stories of child labour? Why are we hearing them now? Hearing them quite often.
Muffin Break is always going to have the problem with children working there because they've got such alluring smells in their shop, you know. So they drift in, you know, through a line of a muffin smell. I worry about children working at Muffin Break. My flatmate, when I was 18, used to work in Muffin Break. And he would bring home about 20 muffins per day, and it was fantastic. It fed everybody. That is not a perk a child needs.
Mm. It sounds like a child obesity problem, labour problem.
Who are they giving these muffins to? Mums and dads? Mums and dads already have muffins.
We need muffin control in New Zealand.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I think, wasn't it about 4 years ago, is a plane going to ruin that?
That doesn't matter. It's the factory theatre.
Ambiance, there it is. It was about 4 years ago that the CEO of Muffin Break, what's their name? Fagan, I believe.
How do you know the name of the CEO of Muffin Break just off the top of your head?
Well, I said it was Fagan, who's the leader of the orphan children in Oliver Twist.
Oh, right.
So it was a reference. The plane got it. Everyone on the plane's having a good old giggle right now.
Come on, Lewis, you're a musical fan.
Yeah, that was pretty subtle.
References.
No one in the Muffin Break child labour court case is accused of pickpocketing.
Did you know that break and muffin break is short for breaking the law?
Oh!
Well, there's a lot of kids out there who are just begging for a muffin break. Please, can I go home to see my family? You want a break from the muffin break? Yeah, I want a break from the muffin break. My hands are so sore. I didn't know I'd just be making small cakes all day. No wonder no one's got an appetite for them.
This is Irrational Fear.
I'm with Shirley, and Shirley is the owner of Muffin Break. Muffin Break, of course, have incredible sustainable practice, and that's what we're about to talk about.
Yeah. Hi.
Your sustainable practice.
Yeah. I'm really proud of them.
Taking the saddest headlines and giving them a little tickle.
This week's second fear, Elon Musk has got more projectile dysfunction problems. Heath, you have been following this story for a while. what's happening with Elon Musk this week? He's not having a run of good luck, is he?
No, he's not doing well. But if you're a big fan of Musk Schadenfreude like I am, it's a good time to put on the fishing waders and fill your boots. Everyone's favourite human jellyfish turned entrepreneur, Elon Musk. People are making fun of him because his spaceship blew up.
Yeah.
And he described it, right? There's a whole deal about it. It was going to take off on the 17th, but there was a pressure valve that was discovered to be frozen. And obviously, you know, 25 degree day in spring in Texas, that sort of thing happens all the time. Parts randomly freeze over, right? So then they decided to abandon the launch for that day but go through what they call a wet dress rehearsal.
What?
Which is the most awful phrase I've heard in a long time. It sounds like the sort of thing you do the day before an incontinent wedding.
It's what you do on like the kind of thing Disney on ice before set. They freeze the ice.
Yes, that's true, yeah.
It's what they do at SeaWorld with the orca show, you know. You spend 5 months in a gym kind of doing it. You're like, all right, it's wet rehearsal today. We're going in with the...
Anyway, the thing that everyone's really excited about is after the spaceship took off, eventually, and exploded, SpaceX described it on Twitter as a rapid, unscheduled disassembly.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is like, you know, it's kind of like crapping your pants and then describing it as a downturn in sphincter-garment relations or an involuntary repigmentation of the under trousers or even a momentary slump in fecal waste reduction KPIs. But yeah, I mean, if it was a manned mission, I assume SpaceX may have put out a tweet that said something to the effect of, the crew are accessing the afterlife well ahead of schedule. But yeah, then it took off and blew up. And Elon Musk said a bunch of stuff. He was like, it'll be great if the launch pad stays intact after it takes off. It didn't.
Yeah.
So there
you go. He put out a tweet 2 years ago saying, do we need a fire trench? I don't think we need a fire trench. And then as a result of not having a fire trench, the whole base kind of blew up as
exploded,
well.
Exploded, yeah. And
ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Some people have like a big pit of water or something like that, and he was like, "Yeah, we'll think of that for the next one." I mean,
NASA have got this incredible system where they push tons and tons of water, thousands of tons of water, through pipes to soften the fire and the debris and the sound and the acoustics whenever they launch anything. And he's like, "No, I don't need any of that. That's bullshit."
Well, he hasn't had time to think of that because he spent a lot of this week running his. A burner Twitter account where he role plays as a 3-year-old. I don't know if you've seen this.
Hang on, what? Hang on, is this true?
Yeah, he's got another Twitter account where he's like, "It's my toy birthday tomorrow," and people discovered it because he posted a screenshot of his own Twitter account, and there's like a little button you can press to switch to another account, and they found it's called like Elon Baby or something.
I think it's Elon Tests. I think it might be.
Yeah, Elon.
Have you covered this on your hard-hitting current affairs program on Triple J?
Honestly, there are a few people, when you do daily dumb radio like I do, there comes a time where you just have to stop talking about people. Like it happened with Donald Trump and it's now happening with Elon Musk. The other person we've had to do it with Snoop Dogg. Like it just gets to a point where somebody does so much wacky shit.
The big three.
Yeah. The holy trinity of doctors. Where you just like, it's funny to talk about, but it's diminishing returns. And unfortunately, Elon Musk is no longer just unfunny as a person. He's also unfunny to talk about even when he does funny shit.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty damning of this whole segment then. Just the buoyancy it needed at the back end to get us into a break.
Hey, this was rocket humour, in my opinion, and it went straight to the moon, baby. Yeah.
A rational fear.
Elon Musk's company SpaceX is facing a failure to launch. The company's Starship rocket exploded minutes after its launch.
Calling it a successful failure.
You say it explodes. I think they destroyed it on purpose.
Since 1986, there's been one company that's been looking after money ethically. That's our good friends at Australian Ethical. On a scale of 1 to 10, Lewis, how ethical is it to sponsor this podcast?
Oh, 11. And if you're... In fact, you know what? I will say I love accepting money from Australian Ethical. But I, personally, am not ethical. I'll accept money from a cocaine syndicate if it comes through. As you can see, I'm currently sitting on the floor and I want some money for a chair. But I will say... it makes me go to sleep at night a little easier knowing the money we take is from a company that does not take money from cocaine trafficking, which would essentially just be me giving my own money back anyway.
In the meeting for this podcast to get sponsorship, they said, what are the risks? And I said, well, you might have the risk where Lewis and I might be unethical at some point.
Yeah. That's a high-risk venture. So I think actually they should be applauded for taking the risk more than anything else.
Australian Ethical is the sponsor of Irrational Fear. This week's third fear, rights are being expanded for New Zealanders in Australia. That's right, for the first time since 2001, New Zealanders now have a similar set of rights to Australian humans in New Zealand. It's a radical departure from the Howard-era laws that put New Zealanders in a quote-unquote special category. That special category simply meant you can hang out, but don't take any of our jobs or money or become a citizen. And if you want to become a citizen, it's going to take 10 years and about 30 grand worth of legal fees. But from July 1... New Zealanders will be able to access NDIS, disability payments, social services, and instant citizenship if you've been here for 4 years or longer. I don't know about you guys, but I smell a Rugby World Cup win in Australia's future. It's very exciting. What do you think about this?
I think it's wonderful. I think the Australian government has taken a long, hard look at itself and thought, what minority group have we been paying the least attention to? New Zealanders. Let's start giving them what they deserve and always have.
Well, you haven't come here on a boat.
No.
I mean, you should need to come on a boat to get proper attention.
I honestly didn't know that wasn't the case.
Joseph, let me tell you, a lot of New Zealanders who come here also don't know that's the case.
Well, so what are the benefits? You can vote. I don't want to vote. I can just come live and work here and not have to participate in your democracy, and that sounds like a great deal to me.
And like Heath, you spend a lot of time in New Zealand. You're like a New Zealand media superstar over there.
Oh, well,
Not in Australia. I mean, here.
All right, settle down.
So, what do you think about this?
It doesn't affect me at all, so I don't care.
I'll tell you who this is exciting news for, Dan. Is your new benefactor Russell Crowe?
Yes, Russell Crowe. Well, he's not a benefactor. I'm doing the gig for free. He's like, what?
You're not doing that gig for free.
Well, he's helped out with Irrational Fear in the past. You know, he retweets me occasionally and, you know,
damn,
he chipped into the joke keeper billboard stuff.
That's the only quid pro quo you need. Retweet Dan and he'll do shit for free.
Far out. This is sort of grovelling sycophancy that led us to this legislation in the
people.
First place.
It's a million. You know, when I got engaged, Joseph, in New Zealand and I put a photo up on Twitter and Russell Crowe retweeted it to a million people.
And then
it
what?
Your most private moment. And he chooses...
Dan, you got to get some of that Pope's exorcist money.
Okay, so all you need as a New Zealander to kind of pass the citizenship test in Australia, Joseph, is a character check, adequate knowledge of Australia, and basic English competency. So let's start with the character check, Joseph.
Okay, yeah, bring it on.
If you are in need of a toilet in like a shopping centre, but the only one that is available is one for people with disabilities, do you use it?
Was this a cultural thing here, or...? Because here, we bloody do, mate. And you better say yes.
In New Zealand, you're allowed to do that, but only for an All Black and only for fornication purposes. Here's a quick character check. Name one of Australia's best-loved comedy characters.
But ideally, one of the ones that hasn't been cancelled for racism.
Ideally one with a fake moustache and tattoos.
Wink, wink.
All right. What about adequate knowledge of Australia? Joseph,
okay.
Name Australia's first Prime Minister.
John Wallaby.
That's correct.
Yeah, well done. Excellent. Really
Alrighty,
good.
I'm in.
And a basic English competency. Here we go.
Okay.
With, I believe that's a Jet Connect plane going to New Zealand right now. Joseph, how many syllables are in the word no?
That'd be three.
Yes, well done.
How do you do it?
No, that's
nah.
about it.
Nah.
And the last kind of requirement is $490. So okay. if you got $490.
Oh, then I'm out. I've been working exclusively for Russell Crowe the last few years. I got nothing.
Your song from Two Hearts... about getting to Eurovision is so funny and fantastic. Well done.
Thank you.
I'm going to play it right now and then we'll wrap up the show.
I hope it works.
Here we go.
Europe united, but we weren't invited. And we feel like a failure. We get the reason we're not European. But neither is Australia. And those guys live so far away. Just a teeny bit further, so you should let us into the UK. We'll bring our own plug converters.
English muffins, Dutch ovens, European things, we love them. I've got German second cousins, let us into Eurovision. We're not bluffing, we'll be stunning. You got space, you kick out the Russians. You want beers, we'll bring a dozen. Let us into Eurovision.
Open up, and let us in. Showing up is enough, we probably won't win. Open up, we'd love to go. Cheer up, we're ready for an
when it starts to rain.
We don't wanna be left out.
When you're sitting on the bench when they start the game.
We don't wanna be left out.
When your neighbors are throwing the cool sounding party.
We don't wanna be left out.
Invited to a swingers night but you're tardy.
We don't wanna be left out.
Oceans may divide us but you should still invite us. There's Europe deep inside us thanks to the colonizers.
Open up, we'll pack our bags. We will try not to suck. But we will be quite jet lagged. Au vrai, and clear, let me on feel au vert.
Je ne comprends pas. Parlez-vous anglais?
300 million years ago, the world looked nothing like the one we know. New Zealand and Europe's not a crazy idea, cause we used to be connected. We used to be together in Pangaea.
Pangaea.
In Pangaea.
Pangaea.
In Pangaea. We used to be together in Pangaea.
When the earth began, we were all one supercontinent. If you go back to the basics of everything, Kiwis are European.
Fantastic. So good.
Thank you.
What a banger.
What a banger. That could actually win Eurovision.
People keep saying that. I'm like, no. No. you got to sing live with that thing.
Well, that is it for Irrational Fear. Let's thank our guests, Heath Franklin, Joseph Moore and Lewis Hobber. Let's get some plugs underway. Got some Two Hearts gigs coming up in Australia.
Oh, fantastic. We're in Sydney doing our full hour show called We're Pregnant and the Baby is Music. It's like an arena pop concert in a small room. That's on Saturday and Sunday night at the Factory Theatre.
Hey, Franklin, are you going to be yourself somewhere soon?
Yeah, I'm going to be myself in New Zealand soon, and then I'm going to be in Brisbane as well, and then I'm going to be in Sydney too. So three of the best cities in the world, after also being in Perth.
New Zealand's a city?
Well, Auckland. I'm being in Auckland right specifically, but I just, you know.
Lewis Homer, are you plugging anything in the moment?
No. Sorry, I thought maybe yes.
Are you plugging Planned Parenthood?
I'm,
Birth control?
I'm plugging chairs at the moment. If anyone can get me a chair, that'd be great. I'm currently just here perched on the ground, as you can see. This is what my life has become.
I'm going to plug the indoor garden party at the Bridge Road, the Bridge Hotel in the Roselle.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to MC. I'm going to plug getting paid for work. That's is Russell Crowe the chief CEO of Muffin Break? What's going on?
I know. One thing I do have to do, I feel like I need to go see the Pope's Exorcist before I go.
Oh, he's going to ask you so many questions about it. Like, what was your favourite scene? Of the
here's a Russell Crowe story for you. So in the trailer for this Stan movie called Poker Face, they had a shot of the hacker doing hacking stuff, and it had this crazy user interface for hacking. And it's one of my bugbears, one of the tropes I hate most. And I just screen capped that shot and put it on Twitter. And I said, why do hackers use unusual software compared to everybody else? And then fucking Russell Crowe retweeted and said, should have got Illich in the fucking edit suite. Like, fuck it. That didn't sink the job for me. Like, even though I slag it off Poker Face.
You and Rusty are like sparring partners.
I'm so jealous, as you well know. He's I think he is.
He's just slagging off his art department. It's probably what he does every day anyway.
That's right, yeah.
I think he's Australia and New Zealand's most fascinating man, and I'm excited to hear more about your meeting with him.
Well, Russell's like applied for New Zealand's Australian citizenship a few times, but has always been rejected. Like, it's so weird, like an Oscar winner being rejected.
Yeah, but now he's got to pass the character test.
But he can do characters. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Big thanks to Road Mics, Australian Ethical, our Patreon supporters, Jacob Round on the Teppanyaki Timeline. Next week is our last episode for the season, so please tune into that. And we might even have someone on the podcast from Australian Ethical. We can ask them all about human trafficking.
Oh, I mean, that sounds pretty bleak.
Well, I'm doing my show here at the Sydney Comedy Festival in a shipping container, so that's pretty close to human trafficking, am I right? Just one closed door away from human trafficking, am I right?
Until next week, there's always something to be scared of. Good night.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.